This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
And we got lots to talk about this hour and next, so stay with us, and you can call us. Be part of the program by calling us at 877-726-8255. That's a lot of sevens, so let's repeat, 877-726-TALK. Makes it a little easier. 877-726-8255 is the number to get through to me directly in the doctor's office this hour or next. And I'm fresh from a 5K run that I did this morning. It's become sort of an annual ritual for me. Unfortunately, it's on the very same day that I have to broadcast, but it's close enough to me so that I can do the race in the morning and then rush back home, grab a little breakfast, make myself a cup of decaf, and prep my show. So thanks to the Lions Club of Hampton Bays, Long Island, New York, for providing me with a little bit of a endorphin rush prior to today's program. Perhaps you may detect it, because there's nothing like crisp fall weather to get your running speed up and to make it a lot less of an ordeal. Okay, big news today, and before we get to some important stories, among which the first ever dietary trial for depression. The impact of diet on depression was the subject of a recent study, and we'll share that with you during today's broadcast. Before we get to that, what's in the news today? Everybody has their TV on, and they're glued to the cable channels to watch nonstop coverage of the run-up to Hurricane Irma, which is just the second in a series of possibly three hurricanes that's going to potentially devastate parts of the United States. And when I wrote this article, last week, we knew that Irma was impending. This is one of the weird things in life, you know, like calamities in life, like a heart attack or a stroke or a motor vehicle accident. These are some things that you can't really foresee. But a hurricane has a particular trajectory, and it's something that you can watch and you can watch and you can watch. And you go outside and the weather's placid, the sky is blue, and the sea is calm. But you know that churning out there hundreds of miles away is a huge cataclysmic storm, and it's bearing right down on you. And that's something that I experienced 5 years ago with Hurricane Sandy. And I remember, you know, the calm before the storm. It's like, how could it be that in 12 or 18 hours, the place where I'm standing is going to be whipped with high-intensity winds, and I'll be up to my waist in floodwaters? Well, that's what happened on the east coast of New York, New Jersey, parts of Connecticut in 2012, and I remember it very well. It's a terrible sensation. I wrote an article for our newsletter this week about the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. And the thrust of the article was that while there was tremendous devastation and scores of deaths, the toll of Harvey is something that's only going to begin when the waters recede, because let's realize that the massive flooding has unleashed a gargantuan tide of raw sewage and dangerous petrochemicals. It's a little bit less the case on the Florida coasts, which are more resorty and less industrial. But the detritus spilled into the air and the water is going to have toxic effects, immediate and long term. And it's stuff that's going to get in the soil in which plants grow and children play. And, of course, Florida is a major agricultural state, so this is going to be a big deal. It's also going to affect our food supply because a lot of our produce comes to us from Florida, and it's very unlikely that the vast majority of crops in Florida will withstand the high-intensity winds and rains that are going to happen. And this is prime harvest season for a lot of different crops. So the concern, too, is that when your property is flooded, and I've experienced this here on Long Island, anything comes in contact with water, flood water, becomes highly prone to mold. And there's no antidote to that. You can't simply, you know, dry it out with a dryer and paint it over. You got to rip it out because mold is tenacious. It loves moisture. And mold can be the cause of allergies, which are respiratory, asthma, and other respiratory symptoms. But there are very devastating symptoms that can occur from toxic mold. All surfaces that come in contact with the floodwaters will be vulnerable to mold infestation. And the furniture, the clothing, construction materials, they're going to need to be systematically rooted out, discarded, and replaced. And, you know, even there's even a passage in the Bible. I believe it is in Deuteronomy, one of the first books of the Bible, which talks about what happens when your house becomes infested with mold. And what they say is you've got to leave. You've got to abandon it. You've got to tear down the house and start all over. This is in the Bible. They recognize the toxic effects of mold 5,000 years ago. And now we know that the risk posed by mold goes well beyond just asthma and respiratory symptoms. Mycotoxins from mold species like Stachybotrys are profoundly immunosuppressive. They can cause a plethora of potentially life-threatening systemic health problems. There are health practitioners in the United States who devote their entire focus of their practices to dealing with patients who suffer from mold toxicity. It is a specific subsection of environmental medicine, and these patients are 4+ sick, and it's very hard to get them to recover. Even if you remove them from the source of the mold, they become highly allergic, chemically sensitive. Their lives are devastated. And of course, the warm, humid climate of the Gulf region, Texas, Florida, is particularly conducive to mold proliferation, even without the flooding disaster, even under routine circumstances. So it's going to be, it's going to pose an unprecedented series of health challenges going forward. And let's pray for the safety and success in avoiding the immediate consequences of the storm for our fellow citizens down south, but also for their resilience in dealing with the future health challenges that they may confront. And let's not forget, too, a more insidious but equally real problem is the PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, that's engendered by the experience of loss and dislocation. And this is particularly devastating for people a little older, people who live their entire lives in one place and they've seen their homes destroyed. And they're maybe just a little weaker, a little less resourceful, and they will face some major health challenges going forward. It's tough enough for them to get through the day when circumstances are optimal. And with hospitals and pharmacies inundated, they may soon be running out of meds to control conditions that people need chronic pharmaceutical support for, like hypertension, diabetes. People who are prone to blood clots need blood thinners. There are people who have, and this is a big issue when it comes to medicine, many people on immunosuppressive drugs, either because they have transplanted organs or because they have autoimmune disorders. Millions of Americans take these drugs, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, you name it, multiple sclerosis. And these individuals, particularly prone to health problems and infectious diseases, when conditions aren't optimal, they need frequent checkups. They need to get their medications, and you know, hopefully the medication pipeline and medical supervision won't be disrupted for too long for some of these vulnerable individuals. And we also tip our hat to the overworked healthcare professionals who I know are mobilizing in the field to rush in to treat the vulnerable during this upcoming challenge. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You can call us 877-726-8255. That's our number for Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest-fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And in a few moments, I'll tell you about the first and only study to evaluate the effects of diet on depression. But before we do that, let's take a phone call. 877-726-TALK is our number. Chris from Wisconsin, welcome.
Good morning, doctor. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you. I just had two quick questions. I heard your program last week about the effects of caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on a couple of medications, one for anxiety and one for depression. I'm just wondering, can you still take coffee, and would that interfere with those medications, do you believe?
Well, okay, so let's look at, some of the effects of caffeine. You know, caffeine can sometimes increase anxiety, but by the same token, it actually is a pretty decent antidepressant. I mean, if you're feeling tired and exhausted, you do get a little bit of a lift from caffeine. So, you know, for your condition per se, it's unclear whether caffeine is contraindicated. Now, what medications are you taking?
Wellbutrin and paroxetine and alprazolam. Is that how you pronounce that?
Alprazolam. Alprazolam is Xanax,
yes.
Right?
Yes, right. Okay. 0.5, yeah, right.
Okay, so specifically, there's no contraindication to taking caffeine with these medications. There are a few drugs which... you know, either caffeine will interfere with their effects, or you'll get a kind of a doubled effect or an increased effect of the caffeine, which might be unpleasant or even dangerous. So for example, if you're taking lithium, you know, that's an example of a psychiatric drug. If you take a lot of coffee, you could get what's called lithium toxicity. Okay, but that's not what you're taking. I mean, that's, that is a psychiatric drug. If you have asthma and you're taking a theophylline preparation, well, theophylline in some ways is very similar in action to caffeine, so you're going to get an additive effect, which might increase the risk of tremors or insomnia or heart palpitations. Among the things that you're taking, a little bit of caffeine should not be a problem. One of the things that caffeine does is it can also reduce the efficacy of certain medications because it kind of revs the body's detoxification pathways. So sometimes medication can be weakened by the effects of caffeine. But, you know, first of all, how much do you consume? Are you a major consumer of caffeine?
Probably 2 or 3 cups a day.
That should work. Are you experiencing palpitations or physical symptoms from the caffeine? Do you have high blood pressure, for example, or heart palpitations?
I get problems with my gut. You know, actually, you know, I get nervous stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's, or sometimes, I don't know if you even call them a tick sometimes. My face always feels kind of stressful. Is that
That could be an effect of the medication, or it could be due to something like magnesium deficiency. You may want to listen up when we talk, in the next segment, to the results of it's called the SMILES trial. I love when they have these acronyms. It stands for something. A randomized controlled trial of dietary improvement for adults with major depression. You're suffering from mood problems. Are you following a particular dietary regimen? Are you using diet to help your condition?
No, just a general diet. I was classified as almost a borderline diabetic, so I've been kind of watching my carbs.
Well, there you go. Bingo, because there really is a correlation between fluctuations in blood sugar, ups and downs of blood sugar, being on that blood sugar roller coaster, and mood. Plus, when you're pre-diabetic, an accompaniment of that is often inflammation in your body. Excess bodily fat can promote inflammation. And guess what? The brain is part of the body. I mean, we tend to think of, well, the body is everything from the neck down. No, the brain is part of that overall body. And if your body's inflamed, your brain, too, may suffer from perhaps low-grade inflammation, not something sufficient to trigger Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease or a severe neurodegenerative condition. But mild to moderate inflammation in the brain has been associated with depression. And that's why studies have shown that things like curcumin, which is a natural anti-inflammatory, may have a positive effect on depression. So stay with us, because in just a moment we're going to break it down for you. The SMILES study, a randomized controlled trial of dietary improvement for adults with major depression, the first study of its kind. Let's see what it shows. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes, that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And here's a study that suggests that every psychologist or psychiatrist in the country should have a nutritionist in the office, a medical nutritionist, because, well, this is something that I've been preaching for my entire medical career, is that there is a huge food-mood connection. And it's interesting that among the patients that I see, in my practice in New York City, a very high percentage of them are suffering from anxiety and depression. Sometimes that's the main reason they come to see me, because, well, medications, talk therapy, these have failed to turn things around for them. And nutrition has great potential in helping these individuals, similar to the last caller, because, well, he's asking about all the medications he's on and whether it's okay to drink coffee. And then as the conversation progresses, we note that he has borderline diabetes, which suggests that his diet's not that optimal. And he says, well, I'm not on the best diet, and we didn't go into it, but what if he were to optimize his diet? Would it have an impact on his anxiety and depression? And according to this most recent study, most assuredly, yes. It's entitled A Randomized Controlled Trial of Dietary Improvement for Adults with Major Depression, the SMILES Trial. Now, how do they get to the SMILES Trial? Well, these are acronyms. They love creating these clever little acronyms to give a name to a study or a trial. So SMILES stands for Supporting the Modification of Lifestyle in Lowered Emotional States, SMILES. That's what it spells. Just like SAD is an acronym for the Standard American Diet. It's SAD because it makes you sad, or can. So in the study, it was a 12-week study, and they divided the study participants, there were 67 of them, in one of two interventions. One, the nutrition group, got intensive individual nutritional counseling sessions delivered by a clinical dietitian. They were told to go on a Mediterranean diet, rich in olive oil, omega-3 fatty acids. There are lots of vegetables and fruits. They eliminated junk food, which, by the way, a lot of patients who are depressed really gravitate towards junk food because they don't have the wherewithal to cook and prepare food. And they get a little bit of a jolt, a momentary uplift from eating highly sugary foods. And perhaps caffeine is part of that picture for some of them. So the other group, well, you know, when you do a study, you got to have a placebo group. Well, how do you do a placebo group when the intervention is a diet change? Well, they had the other group received what are called social support visits. So instead of nutritional counseling visits, they got the same number of visits, but it was just sort of social support, which was the placebo intervention. So they didn't really change their diet. They just got a session. And here's what happened. Oh, by the way, this is the composition of the group, just so you know. 21 of the participants were using psychotherapy and pharmacotherapy combined. So we're getting maximal therapy, good talk therapy, and drugs. 9 were exclusively using drugs, and 9 were exclusively using psychotherapy or talk therapy, and 25 were using only pharmacotherapy. So you see, this is not in lieu of drugs. This is an add-on to drugs and good psychotherapy. So it's not really alternative medicine. It's what's called complementary medicine. In other words, you use the diet to complement conventional treatment. And I'm all for that. You know, sometimes you really need medication to turn things around if you're in a deep, dark hole with depression. So here's what they found, and it's pretty, pretty profound. The dietary support group demonstrated significantly greater improvement between baseline and 12 weeks on a depression scoring scale. Remission was achieved for 32% in just 12 weeks. Now, you may say, well, that's not much. But compared to the control group, only 8% of them achieved remission. So we know that, you know, depression is, it's pretty it's pretty tough to beat. So, you know, we're not looking for 100% improvement. We're looking for significant improvement. And, oh, by the way, what if the study had lasted for 24 or 36 weeks or a year or two or five? Far more individuals would have turned things around with consistent adherence to a good diet. So there's this thing called the number needed to treat, which is kind of cool because many medications get improved on the basis that if you have if you give 10 people a medication, one will improve. And in fact, the number needed to treat on cholesterol drugs is something like 50 to 100. So you have to treat 50 to 100 people for 5 years to save one from a heart attack. The number needed to treat was way low, 4.1. So that means you'd need to treat four people for one of them to achieve remission with diet along with other conventional modalities, which if this were a new psychiatric drug, it would be a blockbuster. A number needed to treat of four is considered an outstanding response rate. So what's going on here? What's going on here? First of all, let's keep in mind that these are very modest dietary changes, Mediterranean diet, without the use of nutritional supplements, which would provide an additional leg up on the treatment of anxiety and depression. We see it all the time in my practice, is that patients can improve and maybe not achieve total euphoric bliss, but dramatically improve their degree of anxiety and depression with the right kind of diet. What's going on? Why should that be? Well, first of all, a Mediterranean diet or a reasonable facsimile is anti-inflammatory. And as I said before the break earlier, depression is now considered an inflammatory disorder. In individuals who are overweight or inflamed, say you have colitis or you have rheumatoid arthritis. These are inflammatory disorders, often accompanied by depression, not merely because it's depressing to be in pain, but because the brain, too, is inflamed. And a diet which is anti-inflammatory, we did an entire podcast on the deflame diet recently. This type of diet can be helpful for depression. It's rich in polyphenols and spices, seasonings like curcumin and rosemary and basil. These have anti-inflammatory effects. Plus, simply losing weight is anti-inflammatory. Number two, there's a decrease in the blood sugar roller coaster, which affects mood. You know these ads that talk about you're hangry, you know, they suggest that you eat a Snickers bar. Well, the answer is not to eat a Snickers bar. The answer is to even out your blood sugar. If you even out your blood sugar, you will be less hangry. Hunger that is meaningless when you're already overweight, associated with mood problems and irritability, is a sign that you have unstable blood sugar. So when you go on a low glycemic index diet, reduce your intake of carbohydrates, have a lot of healthy fats and protein, you're going to stabilize your blood sugar, and that will improve your mood. Number three, this diet is rich in nutrients like magnesium. You get magnesium from plant foods, and a diet that is just pure junk food, you're just going to be missing essential B vitamins, magnesium, things that have a mood-regulating effect. Also, this is a diet that's rich in fish, which is a source of omega-3 fatty acids. And the nuts also provide omega-3 fatty acid support for the brain, which is essential. There's adequate protein in this diet, and protein is essential for neurotransmitter synthesis. If you're eating just junk and not much protein, say you're on a vegan diet. A recent study showed that individuals on a vegan diet, which is relatively low protein, have a higher incidence of depression. That's not a junk food diet, but it is a low protein diet. And low levels of protein and iron can be associated with depression if you're not having even a little bit of animal protein. Mediterranean diet is not a vegetarian diet. It's plant-based, lots of plants, but also plenty of healthy animal protein. And finally, there may be microbiome effects, the benefits of fermented foods and fiber. These can regulate your microbiome. We now know that there's a brain-gut connection. And to the extent that you've got basically you're pouring sugar into your gut and chemicals, you're going to turn that healthy compost heap that is part of your digestive tract into a Superfund site, and bad bacteria will proliferate, good bacteria will be suppressed, their growth won't be supported, and this can have a negative effect on your mood. Studies show that probiotics themselves, even in the absence of diet change, can have a beneficial effect on anxiety and depression. So, you know, multiple reasons why a smiles diet is superior to a sad diet. Standard American diet, truly sad. Smiles diet supports mood. And take-home message is, if you're suffering from depression and anxiety, you must investigate this, because all the drugs in the world, all the psychotherapy in the world can't correct the problems created by a poor diet. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You can call us. Our number, 877-726-TALK. And we welcome your participation on today's Intelligent Medicine broadcast.
The best things in life are free. Free of gluten, dairy, allergens, and GMOs. And that's important in today's toxic world. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. Ohira's Probiotics has prided itself on purity that creates this certified vegetarian whole food supplement. The nourishing prebiotic culture medium in Dr. Ohira's Probiotics is comprised exclusively of pure spring water, fruits, wild vegetables, mushrooms, and seaweed. This carefully balanced and perfectly blended composition goes through a 3-year fermentation process, allowing it to maximize the natural health-promoting properties of each restorative ingredient. The final result? Dr. Ohira's Probiotics is an organic, living fusion that merges and encourages the evolution of your own exclusive internal bacteria, helping to support a healthy digestive system. Discover the Dr. Ohira difference and live free. Look for Dr. Ohira's Probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and our number 877-726-8255. And here's an item that suggests that yoga and meditation may improve brain function and energy levels. A study found that practicing just 25 minutes of hatha yoga, or mindfulness meditation, per day can boost the brain's executive functions, cognitive abilities, and the ability to control knee-jerk emotional responses. So those of you who post really hateful stuff on Facebook, if you want to keep your edge, don't practice yoga, because yoga will curb your ability to control, actually will enhance your ability to control knee-jerk emotional responses. And also will enhance your ability to control habitual thinking patterns and actions. That would be good, because we all get into a rut. 31 study participants completed 25 minutes of hatha yoga, 25 minutes of mindfulness meditation, and the control was 25 minutes of quiet reading, okay, because you got to give people something to do as a control. And quiet reading is nice, but didn't help you with your cognitive processes, your executive function, or your impulse control. And so what's going on here? They say yoga may increase the release of endorphins. It may increase blood flow to the brain. And it may also reduce focus on ruminative thoughts. So consider, as I have, consider putting yoga into your movement portfolio. Like, you know, it's not just about exercise, because a lot of people think exercise, okay, I took a run this morning. But you need to balance it. Balance your exercise portfolio with some strength training, some flexibility stuff, and preferably something with a calmative effect like yoga, or Tai Chi, what have you, along with aerobic exercise, which in itself is good. Good for the heart, good for the circulation, helps you maintain weight, generates brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which helps you grow new brain cells. But you need all three to age optimally. All right, let's talk to Susan in New Jersey. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Fine, thank you. I wonder if you could share with your listening audience. I was listening to you. I've been listening, first of all, today, and I'm a long-time listener, when you spoke about depression a while ago. Mm-hmm. And my experience with depression for many years, no matter what I did, and medications and doctors and so forth, and even diet, it didn't help me, because the underlying problem actually was my thyroid.
Oh, very good. That's very
hard
to point out.
I had hypothyroid. Yes. No one ever said to me, mm-hmm. of all the doctors I went to, mm-hmm. let's check your thyroid.
Yeah.
So that was my problem. And a lot of people, I believe, out there are not aware mm-hmm. of sometimes mm-hmm. that could be an underlying yeah. issue. You agree?
I absolutely agree. And you remind me of a patient who I saw who had complained of low energy. Now, I frequently see patients with low energy. And so the first question I ask is, how long has this been? And the patient said, this has been my entire life. Ever since I was a child, I've had low energy. And so when I hear that, I already go, oh, you know, that's going to be a little more challenging, because it sounds like a real constitutional problem. It's very deep-seated. It's not like, oh, you were fine until, you know, you went camping and you got bitten by a tick, or I was fine until I went through menopause, or no, I was fine until I slowly started gaining weight and my skin became dry, and I started, you know, I couldn't figure out what was going on. I was intolerant to the cold. Okay. Then you know, that means that likely, you know, it's your thyroid flaring up. But so with this patient, you know, I went through all the possibilities and I tested her and I said, you know, I think your thyroid's a little low. Let me start you on thyroid. And she came back, and this is a woman in her 60s. She came back and she said, you know, for the first time in my entire life, I actually have some energy. And she was smiling and she was ecstatic. So this is a very, very important consideration. Of course, when looking at depression, you know, there's no one-note Charlie approach to depression when you're talking about an integrative approach. You need to look at hormonal function. You need to look at the adrenals. You need to look at the thyroid. You need to look at the sex hormones, particularly in men, but also in women. DHEA, which is an androgen, that's kind of a unisex androgen. It works both in men and women. All men have a little more, but women have plenty. DHEA can be a marvelous antidepressant for people who are low in DHEA. Pregnenolone is another one that can make a difference in mood as well. So we look for that in a complete workup when we're assessing that. Low levels of B12, low levels of iron, low levels of magnesium can be associated with it as well. So I thank you for pointing that out. And I think that's, you know, and, you know, you say, may I share it? You have shared it with our listening audience of thousands of people. And more will listen to it when our podcast gets posted on Monday. Okay. 877-726-8255 is our number. That's it for this hour. We got lots more to share with you in the next hour. So call in and keep listening. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.